at the site here, that would be fine. And what the rest of the deacons, if you would come on up here with your wives, if you're here, and sit on the front row, I appreciate that. We're just endeavoring to go as the Holy Spirit so guides us here today. We're at home in the presence of the Lord. And so, Brother Ray, you can sit down here. And we'll just try to be sensitive to what he is saying to us today. And I am grateful to the Lord for this journey that we're on. And so I just want to explain to you where I am at in regards to, Brother Chick, you're up here. Rosemary, you're staying back with the family, or can you come up here and just sit too, if you could, please? I appreciate that very much. I just want to tell you, as we are doing prophetic presbytery, these two brothers will be the ones speaking over you all. They really don't know you. There's a lot in the body knows, but they don't know you. And Brother Bob, you can just park your chair right there, if you would, please, in the hallway. And then your wife can come down and sit by him, too, there. That would be fine. And that's good. That's good. Okay. Then Bill will come down. You can relieve Bill and Eleanor. Yeah, you can come down and sit then, Eleanor, too. Yeah. And that's fine. There he comes. Yeah, just sit down here. And as we are trying to discern where God is at, I want you to know that I am honored to have Brother Bard with us here, who is going to be teaching Bard and Eileen. So good to have Eileen. Give the Lord a hand for Bard and Eileen here. Back in the 80s, Bard and Eileen were part of our church here. Their daughter Kim went to our Christian Academy there, and then they went up to Elam Bible Institute. And Bard was very much a part of our ministry, and then the Lord took him around, and he was amazingly the director or the pastor of pastors here for quite a few years with Christ Community. When we had a pastoral network, and he journeyed with us pastors in so many ways. And Bard was one man that I sat down with him because of his anointing and his expertise. He's a man that is was in the corporate world, and he just turned that over and said, I'm going to be in, Lord, your corporate world now. And so we appreciate his wisdom and understanding. He's with me in a lot of different situations. So he's one of the band of brothers that I have in the community. Now, with Ray Hawk here, Brother Ray Hawk, we found him about 12 years ago in the community, and we started journeying. He's our Anabaptist brother, Brethren in Christ, right? Brethren in Christ. He was a bishop of the Brethren in Christ Church and was a missionary in India. And then he got involved with Randy Clark and the supernatural, and was taught about how to move into the supernatural. So, Dad, I was thinking this morning, he represents our roots here today. And just to see what you were praying for, that God supernaturally will resurrect people out of the Mennonite and Amish community. And so he's one here that is moving with us here today. Give the Lord a hand for Brother Ray here, too. God only could orchestrate this. I could not orchestrate this. God only could orchestrate this. So, Brother Bard, I just want you just to speak. Let me see if I can just adjust that just a little bit for you here. Okay. Yeah. All right. There we go. Okay. We help one another, brother. For some reason, this thing is not working right the way it should. There we go.
Okay. How's that? Operational? Okay. Very good. Well, this morning I'm using a Bible that just got rebound. For many years it was dog-eared and pretty scruffy around the edges. But I called it my Grace Chapel Bible because I was using this Bible from probably 1980 until 1984 when God called us out to do a church plant. And probably 90% of the pages in this Bible have handwritten notes from sermons by Pastor Luke and Pastor Mel over the years. And they're still active and operational. This morning I plan to share out of Acts chapter 6. But before I do that, I think it's important to realize what God's definition is for the kingdom, for his kingdom. And in so just turning to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, starting in verse 34, it says, "And then the king shall say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And he says, For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. And I was in prison, and you came unto me." And so often we get busy with things occurring within the church in terms of conferences or getting busy doing this or that. It's really important to remember how our Lord God Almighty sees his kingdom. And his kingdom is, when I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you looked me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. And I was in prison, and you came to see me. That is the kingdom of God. So let's turn to Acts chapter 6. As we consider the installation of deacons. Acts chapter 6, starting in verse 1. And it says that in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, "It is not fitting that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, look among you for seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but that we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And this saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Neam, and Parmenius, and Nicholas, a proselyte out of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands upon them. And the word of God came and increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now what we have here is a situation where conflict was occurring within the body of Christ. But it was overcome by love. And that love was serving one another. Let's take a closer look at what's occurring here. First of all, there was an issue. And the issue was that the Hebrews were not treating the Greeks equally. in terms of meeting their needs. So the need was identified. And once they identified the need, they took action. And that action was calling together the multitude of disciples and saying, and the leaders were identifying their role versus this other role. It's not saying like one is greater than another, but they were identifying that they could not pray and teach God's word and also handle all the other issues related to the kingdom, related to the health of the body. So they identified that, and then they named seven men to serve as deacons. Now, I think it's important to realize is that there's no back door to effective ministry. We cannot appoint ourselves. But as God raises us up in the midst of a congregation, that is an acknowledgement coming from the congregation saying, we see these qualities in this individual. So as the elders, so when they were identified, the elders affirmed that identification. But let's take a look at these names. So I took the liberty of writing down the definition of each of their names. Because in God's word, nothing goes to waste. There's always a meaning everywhere. And if you dig down deep enough, you'll be amazed at what you find, including the genealogies in the Old Testament. Okay, Stephen means crown. Philip means friend. Prochorus means in front of. Nicanor means victorious. Timon means value or honor or precious. And Parmenas means near and beside. And Nicholas means victory. So I took the liberty of putting these definitions together into form a picture of who a deacon would be. A deacon is crowned or set in place. A deacon is a friend. A deacon is accessible. A deacon is precious, valuable, and honorable. And a deacon is victorious. And then going on down in Acts 6, and then it says that when they were set in place, a number of things happened. So they identified the need, they took action on that need by identifying leaders that can meet that need, and then what are the results of taking that action? First, it says that the word of God increased. So by getting properly positioned and having these deacons in place and identified, then it allowed God to move in a greater dimension within their midst. So first of all, the word of God increased. The teaching of God's word expanded to be a blessing to many. And then the number of disciples multiplied because of that, and it had such an impact that even the clergy that were not born again were being touched and influenced. And then it says that Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. So often we think of that a certain type of service within the church would be the source of the miracles, but that's not what it says here. It says that the miracles were occurring through the deacons. Now the elders were praying for them and blessing them, but the deacons were being manifested. See, the gifts are not limited. God's gifts across the body go across the body fully to touch everyone. Now, I'd like to share a couple examples of some deacon-type functions because I think we all have a bit of deacon in all of us. We're not all called to be deacons. We're not all called to have that level of magnitude. But each of us on a given day may be called by the Holy Spirit to function in a way that serves others. I remember back in the late 70s, we're part of a church in Wisconsin, and we started to grow rapidly, primarily because of hippies getting born again. And that changed the whole dynamic of our church. The hippies would be eating popcorn in the back rows. But they're hearing God's word, and it started to change their lives because they had a hunger that the drugs and alcohol could not meet. So we grew so fast that it was much, much more than our senior pastor and the associate pastor could handle. So they identified four of us to serve regionally within the city between Sunday services. And we had the responsibility to meet the needs of the body at large. Whether it was counseling or praying for the sick, it didn't matter. But that was, and because of that, we're able to continue to grow and remain healthy as a body. Another example is 20 years ago, I was serving as dean of administration at a Bible college. And the president was a pure visionary. God gave him downloads. God showed him the direction about, in terms of how the school should function, where it was going. But he did not have the gifts to turn that vision into God's living word played out in the midst. That was our job. So what we did on the administration side, which was the business side of the school, was to take the vision and make it manifest in the midst, bring it down to a level so that it was touching the lives of the students and also the faculty. And a good example of this is in the summer of 95, I was walking through the academic building, and I could sense an intellectual spirit had taken residency there. And at this school, that would not be welcome. But for some reason, that intellectual spirit came there, and I'm not sure why I could feel it, but I could. So I went before the Lord, and I don't know why I said it this way, because we had a number of strong intercessors on campus as part of the staff. But I said, Lord, give me your intercessor to break this spirit. So that was in June of 95. A few weeks later, one of our staff members had a friend visit her who had been overseas the previous year and had a chance to meet her and found out that she had been serving at the Bible College of Wales. And that she had been praying 24/7 for over a year on these prayer teams interceding for Europe. And so I just felt, Lord, this really seems like your intercessor that I need. So we met, and what I did is I put her in an office in the basement of the academic building, and I said, every morning, pray for everything above you. And by October, that spirit was broken. And how do we know it was broken? Because students were being convicted in their chairs. And the whole thing about academics was set aside so that the power and the intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus could be made manifest in their lives. Now, another example of how this works is, actually it was that same summer, the summer of 95, which is a pretty busy summer so far. But in most schools, cash flow tends to decrease in the summertime because we're not in process, we're not in session, and we don't have the revenue from various payments and tuition coming in. So my controller came down to my office and said, I don't know what to do. We don't have enough cash on hand to meet the check run. And in my high level of sensitivity, I said, that's not my problem, that's yours. Now let me explain. I said, my job as your covering is to pray for you and ask God to bless you. Your job as controller is to thank him for our provision and to pray in the finances because God has placed you strategically to do that. And so this is about 10 o'clock in the morning. By 2 o'clock that afternoon, the controller came down to my office and said, well, you won't believe this, but enough money came in with our last mail drop that we can cover the check run. I said, that's great. We just praise God for that. And then about 3 weeks later, the controller came back to my office and said, I don't have enough money to do the checks this afternoon. And I said, well, you know the routine, don't you? And she said, okay. So she went back to her office, locked the door, brought all the bookkeepers together, started thanking God for his provision. And that afternoon, enough money came in to handle that check run. For the next 6 years, we never had to have another discussion like that. Because they were functioning right where God would have them. And miracles were occurring in the midst. And my job was to provide the covering that they needed so that they would be free to flow and to minister to the needs of the body at large. As we think about the concept of serving others, please remember that you are strategically placed, that you're called by the hand of God to bring healing and life to the lives of others. And it is an amazing calling in the ministry at large. So as we move on to the next portion of this service, just consider that. Keep that in your heart. That expect God to do miracles in your life through you. Expect God to give you what you need to fulfill your mission. Expect God that, in fact, know that since He has placed you, He'll give you everything that you need to fulfill your calling. Pastor Mill.
Brother Ward, a question I have. Could you share just a moment on the responsibility of the congregation as we go into this time here?
Be glad to. We saw in Acts chapter 6 that the elders went to the congregation and said, you select those that would be honorable, full of the Holy Spirit to serve in this function. You see, the congregation knows or would know who is best for these assignments. And that affirmation came from them. The elders sealed that affirmation. But this is a family affair. And there's in quantum physics, there's a theory called the theory of non-locality. Now, I know it's really exciting to hear on a Sunday morning. But essentially what it means is that every electron in creation is aware of what the other electrons are doing. And that's a good example of the body of Christ, that we operate totally, we cover one another. And another example is you look at fabric. Fabric is woven so that the threads go under one thread, but then they go over the next one, and then under, and then over. And as a body of Christ, we cover one another. We lift one another up, and then we cover one another. And that's our charge as a body at large. So as God is calling forth those to serve specifically in our midst, our charge is to hold them up, to encourage them, to pray for them, to bless them. And that's the authority that God has given you as a congregation and a fellowship.
And I would like to add also to that, when we hear how God speaks individually to people, that is speaking to us as a body also. And because if we are one, because whatever word comes over anyone, it affects us, and we should be excited about what God is saying and doing. How many can say amen to that? And so that is the beauty of this. As we're going here in this dimension, Steve, if you could come up and set these chairs up here, I appreciate. Steve and Kyle, could you please come up here and I want two chairs facing the congregation, and then two chairs facing this way. And as we were going here in this dimension of endeavoring to know how to orchestrate this, and as God is showing to us here, the Lord really was speaking to my heart that we need to sit down and just like in the throne room, Jesus sat down. And so I want Brother Ray to come and just to speak anything that you feel you need to add to this time. Of you doing many installations of men and women Do you have a word or two here you'd like to add?
Yes. As I was thinking about this morning, the phrase came to my mind, but as for you. And so, in a sense, this morning, what we're doing is a very corporate thing. You represent the corporate body. But each of you are unique individuals. And so God has a corporate assignment for all of you together, but there's individual assignments. And some of you will get better assignments than others. And you need to hear, but as for you. Remember when Jesus was ending his time with his disciples, he had 12 disciples. They were all, we think of them as all being equal. And Jesus was telling Peter what was going to happen to him. And Peter turned around and said, well, what about this guy, pointing to John? And Jesus says, well, you know, you just follow me. That's all you have to do. And so you're together corporately, but God has an assignment for each of you. And so remember that. But as for you, do what the Lord has for you. And as you do that, the body itself will be blessed.
Um,